This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. This week, same-sex marriage became legal in Canada's most populous province and is expected to become the law across the country soon. Prime Minister Jean Chrétien and his cabinet agreed to write a new definition of marriage to comply with a ruling in Ontario's Provincial Court of Appeal. Last week, the court ruled that the current definition is unconstitutional. Canada would join Belgium and the Netherlands as the only countries to allow marriage between people of the same sex, although, unlike the other two countries, Canada has no residency requirement. In a moment, we'll speak with the lawyer who represented the couple that successfully challenged the Canadian law, and Andrew Sullivan will join us to talk about the prospects for same-sex marriage in this country, and we'll later talk with a Canadian pollster who looks at how Canadians and Americans are diverging on issues like gay marriage and marijuana reform. If you'd like to participate in the conversation, give us a phone call. If you're gay or lesbian, would you travel to another country to get married? Would you move there? Do you think the U.S. will accept similar laws? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, and the email address is totn@npr.org. And joining us now is Martha McCarthy. She represented the plaintiffs in the Ontario case. She's a partner at Epstein Cole in Toronto, and welcome to Talk of the Nation. Hello, Martha McCarthy, are you there? And I'm just looking to see, apparently we have lost the line to Martha McCarthy. She may have put us on hold while she was attending to some other business there in Toronto. And we'll just do one quick call back to see if we can get her. And again, our telephone number, if you'd like to join the conversation, is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. As you may know, Vermont has a statute calling for civil union, not quite the same as marriage for people of the same sex. And I think Martha McCarthy is back with us. Are you there now?
I'm here.
Oh, good of you to join us on Talk of the Nation. Can you describe the situation for us right now in Canada? Can same-sex couples get married anywhere?
Only in the province of Ontario at the moment. There have been court challenges in Quebec and in British Columbia. And both of those were successful, but the judgments were suspended for a period of time until next summer.
Mm-hmm.
And given the federal government's decision not to appeal the Ontario ruling, there are negotiations happening about lifting those time limit suspensions so that marriages can start happening in at least BC and Quebec. Sooner than next summer.
How did the issue of same-sex marriage and partnerships make its way through the courts? What were the issues?
The cases are framed as an equality guarantee challenge, which is the same as your equal protection clause.
Mm-hmm.
Our case law is, or our interpretation from our Supreme Court, has been a little more focused on effects, a little more rigorous and interested in protecting the rights of disadvantaged minorities, but it's the same language in the test. So the argument went that denying gays and lesbians the right to marry, a fundamental freedom, offends, demeans their dignity in such a way as to engage the equality guarantee, denies them an equal right that's available to others, and demeans their dignity, and cannot be justified in a free and democratic society.
Now, the next step, I guess, is to go through the Prime Minister's office. What process did it take you to get to him to find as I understand it, they're considering not merely lifting the time restraints on the other two provinces, but instituting a federal law.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. What the Prime Minister and the Federal Minister of Justice were under pressure to decide whether they were going to appeal the British Columbia decision, which, as I said, was suspended but was released earlier and was very strongly worded in favor of marriage also. And that decision had to be made by the end of June. In the meantime, while they were deciding what to do and having had a cross-country committee hearing taking people's opinions on what to do about gays and lesbians demanding marriage, the Ontario Court of Appeal decision was released that was even more strongly worded, and that allowed for immediate marriages to start happening, and some of our clients got married the very same day.
Now,
the Minister of Justice had to make a call about what to do, and that it was announced this week that there will not be appeals from now three court decisions in three different provinces that all came down in favor of gay and lesbian marriage, and that a bill is going to be introduced that tracks the language of the Ontario Court of Appeal decision, and that says marriage is the union of two persons to the exclusion of all others.
If this would have happened in this country, I think it's fair to say there would have been an uproar. Certainly many people would have been applauding, but others would be, decrying the demise of the Republic. What's going on in Canada?
Well, there's definitely some of that going on. And there is one premier in Alberta in particular who's getting a lot of press by saying that he's going to not abide by the decision and use a mechanism that we have in our constitution to avoid the decision, something that's very frowned upon in a democratic society. And of course, he's getting lots of play, right? The opponents always, although lesser in number, are the most vocal. So, for instance, the morning after we won the case and there were all these marriages, this particular premier is the guy who's on the cover of two national newspapers instead of the couples who married. But there is, our law is different. Our domestic law, our law about relationships is much different than yours. We already have widespread spousal recognition for unmarried couples. We have recognition at the provincial and the federal level for gays and lesbians in virtually all areas of the law as spouses. And so there wasn't much left. This was really the last step. And so public opinion isn't as strongly opposed as it might be in the United States. The most recent poll says 65% of all Canadians favor same-sex marriage.
Let's get a phone call. Our number is 800-989-8255, by the way. And Kirsten joins us on the line from Buffalo, New York.
Hello.
Hello.
I just wanted to mention that my partner and I are living in Buffalo and planning to go right across the Peace Bridge to Ontario and get married next month.
Congratulations, Kirsten.
Thank you.
And Martha McCarthy, I understand that's happening already. There were reports on the wire service today of couples going across the border from Detroit into Windsor.
Oh, there's lots of it happening. Toronto City Hall alone, licenses are being issued in the whole province, but the Toronto City Hall is one place that's done a lot of licensing, and there's statistics at the end of the day last Friday, so after only 4 days, whether they'd issued 100 licenses, including to people or at least one member of the couple being from Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, Cayman Islands, the UK, and even China.
Well, here's a question we got from Mike Badgett in Utah. What legal purpose does a marriage serve to non-Canadians married in Canada?
Were you asking?
Oh, the position.
I was going to come back to you, Kirsten, okay. But go ahead, Martha. Why don't you give a legal opinion here?
The position is that there is absolutely no doubt that it's a valid legal marriage, that these marriages that we're performing are valid legal marriages. Whether or not a particular American state or another country, even outside of the states, chooses to recognize that is something that has yet to be determined.
And Kirsten,
you do have a lot of those Defense of Marriage Acts out there that may provide some difficulty.
And that's exactly what I was going to ask you about, Kirsten.
Mm-hmm. Well, we understand that it's not going to have any legal meaning in New York right now, but we have faith that sooner or later it's going to become a valid legal document. And until then, it makes a great thing to show her company so that I can get domestic partner benefits.
And that's one of the legal issues that was such very important in the Canadian case, was it not, Martha?
Well, we have all of that. We've had domestic partner benefits, what you call that, and all kinds of other extended spousal recognition since at least 1999. A lot of the benefits were granted even in the late 80s, the basic sort of health benefits stuff. But it's all important, and I think I don't know if anybody that's an American should assume that there'll be no recognition. I think that Evan Wolfson and people at other gay rights organizations in the states are saying, you will come back to the U.S. and check off every box that says married and live your lives as if you're married and role model as normal married couples. And if obstacles are, you know, if we run into obstacles at that stage, that's when maybe there are going to have to be further court challenges. And
Well, Kirsten, thanks very much for the phone call.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And Martha McCarthy, we appreciate your time as well.
Pleasure.
Martha McCarthy represents Michael Leshner and Michael Stark, who successfully challenged Canada's ban on same-sex marriages. Well, joining us now from Provincetown, Massachusetts, is Andrew Sullivan. He's written and edited several books on same-sex issues. He's a senior editor at the New Republic and is a well-known blogger. His blog is www.andrewsullivan.com. And good to have you back on Talk of the Nation.
Thanks very much for having me.
What does this Canadian ruling represent for you?
Just a huge psychological, emotional watershed. It's one thing that I've talked for, you know, 15, 20 years about the possibility of having real same-sex marriages, or rather just marriages for straight people and gay people. It's another thing to actually have it happen. And I think lots of people have been walking around thinking, is it true? Are we finally equal somewhere in the world, somewhere that actually speaks the same language as we do, somewhere that's only a few miles away from where many Americans live? And I think there's a huge sense of euphoria and vindication with this particular decision, as well as, of course, enormous trepidation and worry about what's going to happen in the United States and around the world with regard to this matter, because this battle is by no means over in the United States.
I think perhaps by coincidence, a matter of the timing, but the Southern Baptist Convention, and that's the largest religious denomination in this country, I think, issued another statement in opposition to same-sex marriages yesterday. And I think there was a group in Michigan that, in direct response to the Canadian decision, reinforced or issued a call to reinforce their ban on same-sex marriages there. So there is going to be a backlash.
And some people on the far right actually want to propose a federal constitutional amendment to actually write into the United States Constitution itself a bar on gays and lesbians having the right to marry. The weird thing is, of course, is that marriage itself is such a conservative institution. You have a group of people in the society that are actually asking to have responsibilities and commitment and fidelity and responsibility. And conservatives, at least some conservatives, not all conservatives, but some on the far right, are saying, no, with respect to gay men and lesbians, we don't want you to have responsibility, fidelity, monogamy, or any of these things. We just want you to go away. And that's really, I think, why some conservatives have gotten themselves caught in a kind of double bind on this.
Are there other countries do you know of that are on the verge of making the same kind of decision? Obviously, the Netherlands,
yeah.
Belgium, now Canada.
Britain. The Blair government has just announced, actually this last week, that it's going to accelerate its plans to provide complete marital rights for gay couples. That's a very big deal. Looks like it's going to take place in the current parliamentary session. So very shortly, you're going to have, you know, two major allies of the United States, both English-speaking, both very similar in some respects in the law, just getting this thing over and done with. And I think that what you also find is what's happening in Canada and elsewhere is it's actually a huge non-event. We're talking about a really kind of small number of people. It's only 2% of the population, 3% of the population. The rate of marriage is probably lower among homosexuals than among heterosexuals. You're talking about a tiny number of people when you look at the total number of marriages in the United States every year. The notion that this will have any real impact on the institution of marriage in general, it seems to me pretty strained. What it will do is provide this huge confidence measure for gay men and lesbians, especially for gay kids. Now, right now, you grow up as a gay kid, and the one thing you know is that you'll never have a relationship like your parents.
We're speaking
That's
with Andrew.
Damaging.
Andrew, hold that thought. We'll be back with you after a short break. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking with Andrew Sullivan of the New Republic and AndrewSullivan.com about the decision in Canada to allow same-sex marriages. It's already legal in Toronto and soon should be in other provinces as well. It looks like a federal law will be passed there before too long. Our telephone number is 800-989-8255. And in a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Michael Adams, who's a Canadian pollster, who says that Canadian and American cultures are diverging. In the last quarter century, he says some counterintuitive developments have occurred on both sides of the 49th parallel. So give us a call on that if you're interested in those two things. And Andrew Sullivan, I was hoping you would take a call with us.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, let's speak with Renee, and Renee's with us in Royal Oak, Michigan.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. I just have a comment. I'm a lesbian in a long-term relationship, and what's so frustrating for me is that the conservatives want to make this a moral issue when, in fact, marriage is a civil issue. It has nothing to do with morality. If it was, child abusers and those convicted of domestic violence would be barred from marriage.
Yeah, in fact, there's the Supreme Court has ruled many times in the United States on whether there could be any infringements on the right to marry, and they've consistently said none whatsoever. Even if you're a deadbeat dad or a wife abuser or a criminal, even if you're on death row or an alien or any other number of features, even if you are mentally incompetent and you can't be regarded as a legally competent individual, you still retain the right to vote and the right to marry. So gay people currently in this country are regarded as beneath the rights of criminals, people on death row, and indeed the mentally incompetent. I mean, this is really quite extraordinary denial of basic civil equality. And I think she's also right, the caller, in saying this is a civil matter, not a religious one. No one should ever, I think, tell any religion what they can and cannot believe about gay relationships. And this law would certainly make it perfectly possible for any religion to maintain their bar on same-sex marriages. But it's a matter of civil law. Just as atheists are allowed to get married, so should gay men and lesbians. And many of those gay men and lesbians, of course, are also quite religious and want their civil ceremony to reflect their own religious views. But it is a separate issue. There's civil marriage and religious marriage.
Yet, Andrew, as you well know, the Christian right has become a political orthodoxy in certainly the Republican Party, and would fight tooth and nail over this issue.
Yes, and I think the possibility of a federal amendment to the Constitution is an actual real one that the establishment of the Republican Party doesn't really want to get engaged with, because they know this is a deeply divisive issue. But some people, on the religious right, really think that this is the end of civilization and something they have to protect the society against, hence a law like the Defense of Marriage Act. Mm. And, you know, in this country also, very soon, the next month or so, the Massachusetts Supreme Court is going to rule on same-sex marriage rights. And it is widely predicted that the Massachusetts court is going to rule in favor of equal marriage rights in Massachusetts. So what you're seeing now is just a little tremor before the real earthquake happens in the next month or so in this country itself. And the question will be, will a marriage that is lawful in one state be unlawful in another, and how will the legal ramifications of that pan out across the country? And it's going to be a very fascinating and difficult and frustrating process.
Well, Renee, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you, Neil.
So long. And Andrew Sullivan, if you're in Provincetown, I assume you're on vacation. We appreciate you taking your time.
Not at all. Thank you very much for having me.
Andrew Sullivan is a senior editor at The New Republic. His blog is www.andrewsullivan.com. And as we mentioned, he was with us on the phone from Provincetown, Massachusetts.